Today's share is on guarding your eyes. Okay, so what does it mean guarding your eyes? Why do your eyes need guarding? First of all, what's in the core? What's the source, say, in the Torah? Besides, Reb Chaim Vital says on the pasuk of Shoftin v'Shotrim, judges and Shotrim of those who look after the judgments, to guard enforcers of the law. Means judges and enforcers of the law, yeah, you should place on your gates. Says Reb Chaim Vital, that doesn't mean about putting dayanim on the gates of your city. It means about putting guards on your faculties, i.e. your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your nose, i.e. your hands. You shouldn't touch things which are asa. That's shomer gear. Obviously, you understand what it means. No girls. It should be not hearing bad things, loshon hara, speaking bad things with your mouth, right? Or smelling bad things. You're not allowed to smell something which is asa to benefit from. For example, incense of avodah zara, which you don't have it unless you go to India or something like that, to benefit from it. Or maybe even there's an inyan the Benish Chaya brings that you shouldn't even benefit, you shouldn't enjoy the smelling of even non-kosher food. Noveli speaks about non-kosher meat. But that's not for us. That's just an inyan, it's a concept. And then there's your eyes. You shouldn't be looking, you should guard your eyes from looking at bad things, i.e. that's what we're talking about. That's what the shiur is about, going to be guarding your eyes. So that's a makor. Now, there's other isurim about looking at things. If you look at a girl, even if she's fully properly dressed, to benefit from her beauty, right? Unless you're going on a date and you're allowed, says the Rambam, if you're going on a date to marry a girl, you're allowed to look at her to see if she's attractive to you. You're not allowed to look at her in a lustful way, but you're allowed to look at her to see if she's attracted to you. Looking at a girl in a lustful way is forbidden. So it's a Gemara. The Gemara in Bracha says, Hamistakel, that means you look at a girl. Afilu be'etzba ketana, even at a small pinky. Lehenot ba, to benefit from him. It's, right? It's like, you're looking at her body, and says, it's as if you had relations with her. Because the reason that we enjoy the beauty of a girl, is for that reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with a teva, with a natural inclination, Baruch Hashem, to be attracted to girls. And that's a good thing, because you're going to get married one day, and you should be attracted to your wife, and you should have babies with her. And that's a good thing. Till that happens, and it takes a long time for that to happen if you're a Baal Tshuva, unfortunately, because you should all really be married. But since you're starting light later, it makes this very, very hard. Says the Ben Ish Chaim, there is no solution for this desire apart from marriage.
Who said that?
Ben Ish Chaim. That means you are going to have a problem if you're a normal boy at seeing girls. This is going to be a problem. You with me? And it's a normal problem that's healthy. It's not an unhealthy problem. It happens to be unhealthy because you're not ready to get married. And you're not going to be able to get married. Not in this yeshiva at least, as a first year. Maybe there's exceptions, right? You're gonna have to deal with that. The best way to deal with it is to understand where it comes from. What's the source of that desire? Now, most normal people who like girls, there's something very fundamental about a girl that's different from a boy. I'm not talking features-wise, I'm talking about character-wise. Women, most normal women, are usually softer, sweeter speaking, warmer than men, women are more terse, generally speaking. The attraction to a woman is usually comes from the attraction or the relationship. Normally a frum boy has a relationship with his mother and his sisters. Those are the girl relationships he have. If he gets warmth from his mother, says the Gemara, ahava, you get from your mother. If a person didn't get the ahava, the love from his mother, he's going to be needy of that love. That need, it needs replenishing. What happens, and that's why we have so much promiscuity in the world, is usually because of lack of connection to parents. Lack of connection to fathers, lack of connection to mothers, it depends, boys, girls, it's different, right? But generally speaking, it's breakdown of family life means there's not warmth and loving parents at home. So the love, a child looks from outside the home, because a child needs the environment of love. If a mother's not loved by a husband, it'll be harder for her to create an atmosphere of loving, atmosphere. And that usually the breakdown of the family life causes a child to look and seek that warmth outside. Touch is pseudo-warmth. Connection is pseudo-warmth. Because when someone gives themselves over to you, you feel cared for, you feel completed, you feel loved, and that lasts however long it lasts, and then it finishes and you feel empty. Alright? You understanding what I'm saying? So the attraction comes from a need of warmth. I'm talking about a craving for warmth, which you get in promiscuous societies. I said it's very normal for a person, even if he comes from a good home, to want to get married and have a desire for a woman. That's normal. But when you have a promiscuous society, it means there's an over-craving. There's an over-need. And that can only be solved by changing yourself. Right? So first of all, you have to realize if you have a need, an acute need for warmth. Let's say a normal need for warmth. Right? Which is normal, and a normal need for a connection, that's perfectly healthy. That there's nothing for you to do about. But most of us don't have normal needs for these things. They're usually more acute because of our family life. Not everyone. So now, how do we deal with that? So now I'm going to tell you a big kiddush. Avraham Avinu was the first of the Avos. And this is where Jewish psychology, I don't want to call it Jewish psychology, Jewish outlook to life is different from modern outlook. If you go to a regular psychologist will say, okay, you have needs for girls, you have inhibitions, get rid of those inhibitions and go get the girl. That's how you deal with it. You have needs, deal with them. Don't have inhibitions, get rid of your inhibitions. Right? That's what a normal, secular psychologist will probably tell you. That won't help you very much. Because all it'll do is, it will create more of a desire. And the relationships that you have will be very unsatisfying. And all that it'll do is create desire, more desire, and less satisfaction in terms of a real relationship. Judaism will come across and say very differently. If your real need is a need for warmth and care and love, the way you get that is by giving warmth and care and love. By giving it. Turn yourself into a giving person. Care for other people. And it can be male. Doesn't have to be anything physical. It can be a male, people in the yeshiva. Doesn't have to be a female. Change your outlook. Instead of drawing into what you need, give of what you need. And the giving of what you need will actually create that environment and remove the acuteness of the need. You will still have a need for contact with a woman because you were created that way, and that's important. And it shouldn't be different. But it'll take away the acuteness for that need. So that's the first thing. You with me? Says the Ram... Not... you're going to find that people's needs in terms of their attraction to girls are different. There's not such a thing as an absolute attraction, that every girl in your eyes is an attractive girl. Yeah, I'm not talking about, you know, like shapes. I'm talking about that you will find that certain types of girls or certain faces will be more attracted to you. Or certain, you know, some people will be more attracted to soft, quiet girls. Some people are attracted to more bubbly type of girls or fun type of girls, right? Some people will be attracted to high-powered girls, you know, like an executive type or something like that. They might not be healthy for them, but there'll be a reason for that attraction, and it's usually a reason in psychology. Sometimes the attraction that we have is actually bad for us. And it comes from a bad place, and it needs to be refined, and usually changed. Because it comes from your psychology. Attraction is not a purely physical thing. It's a very emotional thing. Some people are even attracted to, you know, I didn't like rounded, more rounded girls or thinner girls. Today, most people find thin girls attractive because people are very high in survival. And if you're thin, you're more healthy. That's how it goes today. So thinner girls are in, you know, in the Victorian times, plump girls were it because they were richer and they had food, right? And actually, plump girls are probably healthier than thinner girls, right? In fact, but that's not how we look at it. You understand what I'm saying? So attraction is not a completely physical thing. It's based on the psychology even of the generation. You with me? Okay. Now there's another thing the Rambam says. The Rambam says at the end of Hilchos Isuri Bia, he says there, and there's a reason why it puts at the end of the things with forbidden connections. So he says that a person should have love for learning Torah, or chokhmah, wisdom, like the love of a girl. And he says there that the involvement in learning and in thinking over Torah will remove from you the desire for women. Now, again, that's not a complete thing because it's not going to remove it from a young man who has to get married. For a man who's married, fine, he has pat basalo, he has, but he's not going to, he has where to get his basic needs. You understand what I'm saying?
Is that by virtue of the Torah learning or by virtue of being removed from an environment in which he'll be tempted? No,
if you put a person, yeah, in a place where there's half naked women, i.e. places in the United States or maybe even here, right, you go to the beach and people are wearing bikinis, you're going to be attracted because you're a normal boy. So you have to keep yourself away from seeing things. Or today, you don't have to go to the beach. You can bring the beach to your computer. Or even worse than the beach, right? So if you do see things on the computer, things is going to arouse you to certain desires. So let me explain a Gemara. The Gemara says as follows. Eva cotton, yesh beish. There's a small Eva, small limb a person has. If he feeds it, it's hungry. If he starves it, it's satisfied. Do you understand the limb I'm speaking about? Okay. Feeding it, you know, in the medical profession, they say, at your age, you have excess liquids. When you have excess liquid, it's not healthy unless you get rid of it. So you stay, tell you you should get rid of it. You should do things that remove that excess liquid in order that you'll be healthy. That's the opposite of what Judaism says. Judaism says that, first of all, it's an Avera. You shouldn't be doing that. Second of all, the more you do it, the more you'll desire to do it. And not only the more you'll desire to do it, it'll cause you to be sad. It'll cause sadness. Because, let me explain. All of the mitzvahs, the first mitzvah in the Torah is pur uravu, to be fruitful and multiply. Fruitful and multiply means to take one's essence and give it across in a creative way. When a person wastes his seed, it means he is giving himself, he's giving his kochot in an improper way. They're going to waste. When a person wastes his strength, i.e. wastes his life, this is part of his life, that causes depression. All depression comes from people who are not doing good things with their lives. They're not expressing themselves in proper ways, or they're not expressing themselves at all. That causes loneliness, that causes depression. This is a physical form of depression. This brings on a certain level of sadness that he's not connecting properly. Proper connection brings joy. Improper connection brings sadness. Now, you don't have to ask me. You know, I've met enough boys, Baruch Hashem, and they've told me, you know, like, if you realize it, you know, they college life is a certain way of life. And you ask a boy, why did you do it? And he says, yeah, because he has a desire. He can't control his desire. And how do they feel after they get this girl? Who they're not going to marry, and they're not interested in marrying. Just physical connection. They say they feel more empty afterwards than beforehand. It's emptying, because it's an improper connection. Only if you have an emotional relationship with someone, i.e. it's called marriage, does that connection bring on a fulfilling of self and a simcha and a joy. You with me? So it's not going to help you anyway. It's just going to make that desire more in you, and you're going to feel more emptied, and it's going to cause you to have more of a desire. The more you go after your desires, it increases. Feed it, it's hungry. Starve it, it's satisfied. Starving doesn't mean just not doing anything. Starving means not seeing things which arouse that desire in one. So if you have, today on the internet, you see all these type of pictures that are around, and nowadays, Hirachem Hashem, you can flick and meet girls. You know, there's all sorts of things on this internet. People have told me, people in this yeshiva, you know, it happens. Boys, nowadays, it's everything's available. In any country, in any place, you know, probably even the moon, you can flick someone. Right? I don't know what it's called, I don't want to know what it's called. But I know you can flick it. Okay? So, as soon as a boy has all these options open to him, it becomes very, very hard. So the best thing to do is to guard your eyes by guarding your computer and your phone. So on iPhones, you have, and even computers, Apple computers, I'm sure all the computers have it, there's a thing called restrictions. So you do yourself a favor. You get a friend who writes a code in for you, and he puts in the restrictions. And he keeps that code. And now you can't, and he puts it for, I don't know, 4-year-olds or 12-year-olds. You have all your apps that you want on. And every time you want to put on Amazon or whatever it is that you want to put on, he allows you to put in things, but and your history is kept. And every so often, you know, if you need something to access that you can't get for work or whatever, so you ask him to put in and you access it. But other than that, your phone and your computer has restrictions on it. So that way it keeps you away from it. Because now, in order to, if you're probably, I don't know how people do things, but probably there's ways around it, but it's still more difficult. Right? Am I right? Or maybe it isn't so difficult nowadays, I don't know.
No, there's always ways around it.
Even with the restrictions of Apple?
I have a friend who spent like over 100 hours putting blockers on his computer, and then he was able to get...
But how many hours it took him to get in? It must have taken a few hours.
3 hours. To get around.
To get around it?
A persistent surgeon, yeah.
Okay, well, look, it's 3 hours, you have to spend 3 hours to do it, you understand what I'm saying? There has to, and not everyone's a computer genius. It's some level of protection, right? I don't know. You can ask the boys here. Some of the boys do restrictions on their computers. I'm sure there's good ways and stuff like that. But it's always a good idea. And you know, there's K9. I don't know if it exists anymore.
They just switched it to Q Studio.
Huh?
It's Q Studio
now. Q Studio.
Yes, I use it. Yeah.
Oh, Q Studio. It's better than K9.
Well, K9 got bought out. So, I just went to Q Studio
because it's all I know. Okay, Q Studio, it's free, okay. So it's a search engine that you don't get anything on it.
Yeah, you put in websites that you want to block. You enter in a password, and then that you can do. You can get specific. You can't get source specific like TAG. You heard of TAG?
No.
It's an organization in the States, and they can like take your phone and like within certain apps. I know one guy who did it.
Huh?
And, like within the apps that you can't block, you can like block specific things. And,
oh, you can block things within the app.
Mm-hmm. This one you can't.
And yeah, okay, so there's tags. There are ways. I'm sure, you know, listen, even people in the secular world don't want to give their children, you know, things which are bad. So, like, they must have good restriction apps for even a WizKid kid who wants to burn his iPhone and get through, can't get through, or at least it's difficult to get through. So, like, there's ways of doing it. But that's a good thing to do. That's an ATSA. Now, once you have that, and once you understand that the way to solve your problem is by being a more giving person, if you need warmth, give warmth. And the second thing is to restrict what you see, that's called feeding yourself, things will be easier. They won't be easy, they'll be easier, because by nature you can't solve this problem till you get married. But you should know that even if you're married and you have this problem, the problem might continue till after marriage. And the more you do these things, certainly the more, you know, you listen to the doctors and get rid of that liquid, the greater is your desire. And no wife wants to be the desire box for her husband. So it'll affect also your marriage. So it's something you need to work on before marriage.
What's the case that doctors will make?
I don't know, this medical thing that if you have, and they're right from their point of view, you're a young man, you have desires, you should really be married, you should be having kids. You will have a Kodesh Baruch Hu does create a situation where you have hormones which create these liquids. They just don't understand that this liquid is created by seeing things, by desiring things, by internet. It's not just, you know, if you don't see things, which is going to be pretty much impossible in America if you live in college, I mean, you just walk out of the door and there's girls, and the girls talk to you and they're half naked, I don't know what, right? So, like, it's not talking about yeshiva. In yeshiva, it's much easier. Hard enough, you're not going to meet half-naked girls. So as long as you don't go to Ben Yehuda or to Tel Aviv or wherever it is, you're going to be pretty much safe, right?
Depends where you are. It could be harder in some ways.
Okay, because you're going to be attracted to a nice, from girl. Okay, but that's very different. That's a normal attraction. You're not going to look, it's more emotional. You're not going to look at her physically and start, you know, you're not going to do that. So that's different. That's more normal. That's more, like, acceptable. But you don't have to, like, no one's telling you you can't look at girls. But don't stare at them and certainly not at features about them. You understand what I'm saying? Like, don't look at them and sort of, like, I don't know what, like, undress them sort of thing. Look at them and you see a girl, you know, it's fine. And generally speaking, you're not going to be attracted to something that's not available for you. You understand what I'm saying? And someone told me once, an Eitzah, maybe a boy, he says, like, Rabbi, you know, or some, I don't know who told me, but I remember this Eitzah. I think it's a very good Eitzah. Sometimes, so you meet a girl, right? You see a girl on these buses, like, some Israeli, you know, half-naked girl, right? You find them attractive. Just think. Okay. So you meet her. You get married to her. And you do whatever you do with her. You're going to wake up with her in the morning and she's going to be your wife. She's not going to be attracted to you. That takes away all the attraction. Just think. Any girl you're going to date, she's going to be your wife. You're going to wake up in the morning with her. You're not going to be attracted to her. You're not going to live with this girl. The problem is, we think of one-night stands. If it's a one-night stand, so who cares? And then in our mind, it's just a one-night stand. So our mind will think about it. But if you go a little bit more with it, don't think about a one-night stand. Think about it, you're marrying the girl. Anyone, you're a frum boy now, you're marrying her. Half the girls, or 99% of the girls, you're not going to be attracted to. And then it becomes your problem. So the nice, frum girl who sneers dressed, you are going to be attracted. She will be attracted. But again, you're American, you're not going to marry an Israeli. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to meet that many Nevei girls around, right? Not the frum ones. They're not going to walk past Mochan Shlomo, you know, parade themselves. Because Rabbi Stein will find out who they are and they won't suggest them for good shidduchim. So it's not going to happen.
So,
you know, not just standing up mocking show, say, I'm looking for a nice, good second year because first years can't get married. Boy, that's not happening here, right? So there's nothing for you to worry about.
What about talking?
If you meet a girl at a Shabbos table, right, you don't have to be a eunuch. It means you can allow to talk to them, right? But just remember something. Sometimes the girls, you might be attracted to them or thing, and you say, just realize that you're not on shidduchim. So you can say hello, you can be polite, you can treat them like you treat a boy. Talk to them, you're allowed to talk to girls. There's no issue to talk a bit. Don't overdo it. Like, and if you see that they overdo it, which might happen a lot with girls, right? Then, you know, you curb it a little bit. You understand? Don't have major conversations, and certainly when you walk out of the place, not deflected, just be a little cold. Yeah,
I'm saying more like when you're actually talking to her, like,
you're allowed to look at her in her face. You're allowed to look at her.
Yeah, but like it's so easy to just like look at her a little bit too long, and it just like
her face is not a problem. Okay, listen, Torah wasn't given to Malchei Hasharis, right? You guys. You can be polite to a girl. You don't say, oh, girls, you know, put your hand in your face. No. You can just talk, be normal, be normal. But don't get in an involved conversation. You don't have to look up in the air and like start talking to her, or look in her feet and start talking. You can look into her face and that's fine. Don't start looking at her body parts and talk to her. Just look at her face. I mean, those girls go like this, look at her, like, stare at her face into her eyes. She'll think you're a weirdo. But believe me, she will not want to date you. But just look at her normally. Talk to her as if she was a boy. Right? Just don't get an involved conversation. Yeah.
What crosses the line?
Huh?
What crosses the line in conversation?
You know, you can talk to a girl for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Right? But like a half an hour conversation with a girl at the Shabbos table is probably not. You know, where you come from. You know, it's small talk. Not involved talk. You know, like, how did you become a Baal Tshuva? You know, that's unfortunate. Some of these guests, you go to guests, and usually yeshiva, they don't invite boys and girls together. But some of these people, unfortunately, they invite boys and girls, and the person decides that he's going to be a shatkan. And now he asks all the girls, like, tell us how you became a Baal Tshuva. And all the boys, how do you become a Baal Tshuva? And you have these, and it's in Chutzlar, it happens more. In Chutzlar, it happens. Here, nothing happens. In Chutzlar, it happens more. But in Chutzlar, there's a reason for it to happen, because you want boys to meet the Jewish girls. You know, with a 75%, you know, intermarriage rate. So at least a boy will meet a Jewish girl. That's something.
Wait, you said Chutzlar?
In America.
Oh.
I went to one rabbi's table, and as a rabbi, right? So like he's going around, and he's introducing all the boys to all the girls, right? So like, how did you come about Chuvah? Well, say something important, right? So that introduces everyone to everyone. So everyone knows about everyone. But that's acceptable in Chutzlars because you want a boy, even if he's not from, to meet the girl. Because at least he'll meet a Jewish girl. But here in Israel, being in yeshiva, you don't want to be in that sort of environment. And you don't want to go to mixed, even mixed from functions, right? Or like singing functions where the boys are singing and the girls aren't singing much. You understand what I'm saying? There are things like that happening. Or Malava Malkas of a shir, mixed shir. Keep away from mixed shir. I mean, you're not dating anyone yet. And if you are dating, you know, you have a special heter to date. Fine, go on dates. Meet someone who's appropriate to you. You with me? What do you do? Basically is, there's two ways you look at a person, or look at a girl. You're allowed to look at a girl. There's no problem with looking at a girl. It's if you stare at them. Or you look at them and you see features in them. And you imagine things. That's not allowed. It's called hirhurim. The word hirhur, the same letter, hey rich, right? It means to churn it in your mind. If you see something and you churn it in your mind, that's an issa. That's an issa deraisa. If you see something and you don't churn it, if it churns in of itself because of your past, right? That's not your fault. All you do is, don't push it out of your mind. Don't attach yourself to that feeling. For example, say you see a girl, but because of your college life or whatever, when you see a girl, you know how they look automatically. You like can undress them, say, whatever, right? And now, you're not doing that actively. That's happening to you inactively. Don't push it away from your mind, because that's also associated with it. Let it go in and go out. Right? We've all been sitting here talking, correct? And everyone heard everyone else. Now, if we stop talking for 5 seconds, there's this noise outside, which we weren't even so much aware of. It's called background noise. We're not aware of the noise unless you think about it. So there's a lot of things that happen in your mind which are background. You notice, for example, say you're worried about something. But all of a sudden you now have to take a test, which is very important, and you have to concentrate. You're not worried about it, because your concentration is fixed on something else. You with me? But after the test, you go back to that worry. So there's a lot of background noise in our minds. Right? Our mind automatically creates noise or worries or whatever because of our needs. So long as you don't focus on them, there's no issa in them. Pushing them away is also focusing. Let them go in and out and not focus. Don't tell yourself off about it. Just let it go in and out. It's not a problem. There's no issa in that. You're not doing any action. If you focus on it and like churn it, bring it to the frontier of your mind works very similar to a computer. There's like your hard drive, right? And there's your RAM, you know? So long as it didn't come into your RAM, that it's in your hard drive or in your core drive, it's nothing to do with you. You with me? So if you bring it in your RAM and you actively think it, there's a problem. That's called hirhurim. You with me? Make sense to you? Take something. You go down the street. You see an attractive girl, right? Whatever. And you find them attractive, right? So the first thing you should do is don't stare at them. You didn't listen to yourself, you stared at them. Okay. Now you stare at them, you feel good, you feel warm, you feel the feelings that you feel. Now that picture got put into your mind, and now you start thinking about something about them, right? So now, the staring caused that. Now, and that was caused because of your past. So now, you're still in the middle of it, it might be too hard. The best thing would be not to stare. But if, without staring, it still got into your mind, so you just leave it there. Don't deal with it.
How do you leave it there at
the point? It's in your mind. Don't carry on. Don't like churn it.
Yes, like stop.
Don't enjoy it. Don't actively think about it. It'll still be there, but don't actively think about it. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Don't actually like enjoy it. Enjoy the feeling. Or let it remind you. Usually what it does is it reminds you of things that you've done in your past. And bring those things onto this specific person. You understand what I'm saying? The mind desire works with dimyan, with imagination. But imagination has to be active. If it's an inactive imagination, if your mind just works on it, it'll go away. There's many things, right? There's many things which, you know, if I start talking about, let's say, what flavor ice cream you like?
Chocolate,
okay. Swiss. Chocolate, ice cream, cool,
with salad,
with kesefet on it, with the well, how do you say
sprinkles?
Not sprinkles. There's no one eats today.
The cherries,
whatever you like. Cherries or the cream on top, and like flowing with chocolate.
All right, I'll be back.
Okay, you had no desire 5 seconds ago for ice cream, but if you think about it and describe it. You'll actually taste the taste. Your saliva will actually work on the taste because your imagination reminds you of how it tasted and you'll salivate. Right? But only if you actively think about it. That's ice cream. So say a person in college life had a relationship with a girl. And now he sees, you will find that the girls you had in your past, you had good relationships with, and you, for a period of time, emotional relationships, and you'll see a similar type of girl like that, you will be attracted. And it'll do click in your mind, and it'll remind you of that girl, might remind you of that girl, but it'll remind you of this one, who looks like that girl. You understand? And you will salivate in your mind, and you will think about it. So what do? You have to remove that thinking. Remove that thinking. The best way to do it is just not to think about it. I can't have, I'm thinking about it. Okay, fine, you're thinking about it. Don't make a big deal about it. If you're anus, if you can't help about thinking about it, so long as you don't reproduce it. You understand what I'm saying? You don't actively think. If you can't get it out of your mind, don't be worried about it. It'll go away. Eventually it'll go away. Just don't activate it. You understand what I'm saying? It makes sense to you what I'm saying?
So how do you get yourself out of a situation where
you don't get yourself out of it.
No, just but leave like it. When you are grinding.
Do nothing.
Yeah, do nothing or go learn. The Gemara says, read Kriyat Shema. Say Kriyat Shema. Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. Sing Yichud Hashem. Think about the day of your death. You know, one day, you know, you're going to be down under. Finished. Right? The best for us, though, is, it says, Yaskir Yom Ami says, if the Yetzara, this is the eighth of the Gemara, it says, or learn Torah. If you're learning, most people, when they're learning with the Chavrusa, they're learning the base of Medrash, aren't going to be thinking about that. Go to bed tired. Go to sleep tired. Don't do emails and films before you go to bed.
Wear orange glasses.
Yeah, don't do films.
But I have to for work.
You have to do, films of what? Weddings or something like that.
Are you saying don't look at...
Films like films.
Movies.
Right, because movies today, even if you watch a PG, there's also stuff in PGs, right? So don't look at like or cartoon. Even in cartoons, there's all sorts of things today. So don't like you know, don't see films. If you want to see a film, right? You feel down, you want to see a film. So see a like some sort of like
documentary.
See a Walt Disney thing. Cartoon or some Walt Disney scene, something with a bit of a meaning to it. There are films with meanings.
Or war movies.
War movies is going to be violent. Oh, all war movies?
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
You're going to be bored of that.
Wait, what's the issue with violence?
Violence is not such a good thing. Because it creates within you violence. Anything you see affects you. Yeah. It's Chumash Rashi. Rashi says, why did a person become a Nazir? He saw a Sota be Kilkula, saw a woman. An adulterous woman was brought to Beis Hamikdash, and she was tossed around by the Kahanim, and she blew up. That should make you, a stomach blew up, whatever it is, right? She blew up. And she says, Yazir Atma Menayayin, he separated himself, because the fact that he saw something, someone doing an adulterous thing, it made it a heter for him, it made it easier for him to that to happen. He saw the next door neighbor, in the Beis Hamikdash. This happened to us. I mean, women do these things. Made it cal in his eyes. Made it lighter in his eyes. The Issa.
Yeah.
Right. You see that in a movie, it'll weaken the Issa in your eyes.
Yeah, for sure.
Today, Issa is definitely much, much weaker.